Welcome back into Hawks Talk, your official podcast of the Upper Valley Nighthawks, everything about them and the Upper Valley region. Once again, I'm Ian Binky, joined alongside by Megan Robinson and Allie Wenskowski. And really tough week here for the Nighthawks. They didn't get an off day until the couple of rainouts here late in the week. And then you end it with that Martha's Vineyard trip, caught in a franchise-long eight-game losing streak. What have you seen out of them over these last few games?
I talked about it last week. I said they were on the brink of struggling, maybe caught myself in the words that they weren't struggling yet, but they have officially reached struggling status, I think. Just eight in a row, that's something special out here in Vermont. I think they need to get a win imminently to keep those vibes up. I mean, you can even see it in the dugout and on the bus. Vibes not are completely down. They're still playing Mafia and everything on the bus, but in the dugout for sure, it's a little quieter than the beginning of the season.
Also said like last week as well, like the morale was important to stay high. And with these back-to-back losses, I think everybody's really getting in their head mentally. And I think when the guys put points up on the board first, I think it's a different name in the game for them. But as soon as they start to, you know, get behind, I think it's just not a good scenario.
Yeah, absolutely. And that was really one of the big issues over the stretch in this eight-game losing streak. The first six games, they fell behind. They allowed the first runs of the game after that not being the case through each of their first five contests. And then finally, in the first game of the Martha's Vineyard doubleheader, they got on the board first. They actually out-hit Vineyard 12-2. 11 in that contest, but just unfortunately for them, they still lost by 7 runs just because Vineyard had the power. They hit 2 home runs late in that game to pull away, several extra base hits. It's just not been getting it done on offense. And talking to the analytics team, they just think it's some of the swing decisions, you know, not swinging first pitch, which sometimes they say is the best pitch that you get to hit, and then falling behind in counts, and that leads to either a strikeout or ground balls, just not getting it done.
Yeah, absolutely. And going back to what you said about the first pitch, I think that's everything. I mean, when I played, that was my strategy. I would not swing at the first pitch no matter what. And then something clicked senior year that a lot of times that's the best pitch, or that's most likely just straight down the middle or things like that. Like, that's what you're going to see. So to take advantage of that is something huge they need to work on.
Yeah, it's usually sometimes a get-me-over fastball. Not always in this league because you do have some good pitchers, but you know, sometimes that's the best pitch you get to hit. And you look at what especially Vineyard was doing and Ocean State a little bit too in those losses. They were ambushing first-pitch strikes, and that's really what allowed them to have success scoring early in the contest. And the Nighthawks might have to try to take a page out of that playbook. But you also can't talk about the stretch without mentioning the runners in scoring position and the struggles. I should break out a thesaurus here, so not saying struggles over and over again, but hitting 143 with runners in scoring position, it's just not going to get it done. They've left 80 runners on base over these last few games. It's an average of over 10 runners per game, which it's not going to spell success in the long run.
Certainly isn't. 80 runners on, I mean, potentially that's 80 other runs that could have scored that didn't, and I think that's where they're struggling. I mean, we saw it again this week with more rain delays. We had 2 back-to-back, or one was called very early on and then one was called a little bit later, and then you had Martha's Vineyard with that huge journey, but again, things just didn't spell success.
We've seen some solid pitching, we've seen some up and downs over the stretch, but one thing that stayed consistent for the most part, there has been a few blemishes, but the bullpen still very strong, especially the back end. You look at guys like Cal Culpepper, Halton Hardy now getting his first start as we speak today against North Adams. You'll have a result on that game likely by the time this podcast releases. But a lot of success with those bullpen arms. Nate Kreider, another one to name some of the success stories in the back end of relief arms this season. It's been one of the biggest strengths for this team.
It has. I mean, we talked about it last week that the bullpen was really shining, and again, they're still shining. They're the highlight of this team so far. I mean, it's really come down to the bats and the runners on base, the pitching. Some starters have been doing their jobs, others not so much, but then you have the bullpen that can come in and be lights out in situations that they need to. It's just that if they're behind on the scoreboard, they can't come back.
I think last week, also speaking of pitchers, like with Dylan McCarthy, he had everybody come out and he was looking really strong. But I think as soon as they started getting runs on him, he got in that mentality that he's not doing well, not doing good enough for the team. So I think that's something that the pitchers really have to focus on, not getting in their head when they get on the mound.
You look at the starting pitching over this last stretch of now 8 games over this losing streak. An ERA among starting pitchers of nearly 9. They've allowed 20 earned runs over 21 innings pitched. Only one starter going beyond the fourth inning. That was Chris Mattioli against Vermont, but still tagged with the loss after the two inherited runners for Cal Culpepper scored on him. It's just been a tough stretch for starting pitching, but they look to turn it around here against the North Adams team. But now to shed a little bit more light on this last week and really the season at hand so far, we had a talk with the manager of the Upper Valley Nighthawks, Matt Paws. Let's take a listen. Welcome back into the Hawks Talk podcast. We are joined now by the manager of the Upper Valley Nighthawks in his second season, Matt Paws. Matt, how are we doing?
Doing good. How are you guys doing?
Good, good. So it's been a tough stretch over the last few games for this team. What have you noticed out of them over this losing streak?
Yeah, you know, we've been struggling to score runs. I think that's been the biggest thing. You know, for the most part, our pitching has been good. We're throwing strikes. The past couple of games, we're just kind of getting hit around a little bit. But I think that's the biggest thing is we're just struggling to score runs. You know, I tell the guys, you know, try to stay positive, keep coming to the ballpark ready to work. And, you know, we'll find a way out of this. You know, that's all you can really do. We still got a long way to go. It's still early. So just trying to encourage the guys and, you know, stay positive.
How does previously playing baseball translate to your coaching style?
Definitely a lot. You know, I was a catcher playing all through high school and college. So I think just kind of understanding where people are supposed to be on the field, communicating, you know, obviously from a pitching perspective, kind of what pitches are being thrown, stuff like that. So I've always kind of taken pride in that, you know, and now being a coach, I've been doing this a long time now. So, you know, just trying to keep learning, keep getting better. And yeah, I mean, like I said, the playing experience obviously definitely helped into what I'm doing now.
Yeah, definitely a catcher is, myself as a catcher, definitely understand that as well. But, you know, looking at the success of especially last year's team and already having a guy signed to a minor league contract, and you figure the draft coming up as well, how does, you know, working in a league like this one before as a hitting coach kind of translate into your managerial experience and trying to get guys ready for the next level?
Yeah, for sure. You know, it's and the biggest thing here in summer ball and kind of what we do here is it's all about development. You know, obviously we want to come out here and win games every night and be competitive. But for the most part, you know, it's giving guys an opportunity to play. Obviously, this is a really good league. You know, so giving those guys opportunities to face really good pitching from a hitting standpoint. And then the pitcher is obviously facing really good hitters. So part of that, you know, being the hitting coach, I was here for 3 years as a hitting coach. So, you know, kind of learning how to communicate with guys. You know, we're really laid back here. And I know Garrett and Noah have talked about that before. We're really laid back. We want guys to get better. We want them to improve. We're not going to jump down anyone's throat. And I think a lot of guys respond well to that. And so, you know, our role as a coaching staff is just, you know, give them opportunities to be in a best position to succeed. And moving forward, we'll try to continue to do that. So, yeah, I mean, obviously being the hitting coach here for 3 years, is, you know, that experience has helped me, you know, the best couple of years being the manager. So
for you this season, what is something that you've been doing for yourself and also the team to keep the morale up?
Yeah, you know, just, you know, talking to guys, you know, joking around with them, how their off days are going, stuff like that. You know, I think that's really important is, you know, obviously helping guys stay here, but make sure that they're enjoying their time, you know. And, you know, like I'm sure we'll talk about, we have been struggling right now, which we haven't done like this in a couple of years. So just try to keep guys' morales up, you know, make sure they're enjoying themselves. And as a coaching staff, I think we do a pretty good job of that, making sure guys are enjoying their time here. And, you know, hopefully we continue to just get better and stay in it. Like I said, it's a long season, so we still got a long way to go. So hopefully we can turn it around.
Yeah, talking to Nance and Boffin a little bit earlier, they talked about, you know, not trying to do too much with the guys unless they really want to change something if they notice it. So what does that process look like if a guy does come to you and says, you know, I want to improve this or I want to change that, how do you work with him to get him ready for next year?
Yeah, definitely a conversation, obviously, first. And then kind of going into, we have the synergy we can dive into. If they're a hitter, we can look at their video, we can look at their swing, kind of what little things they're doing. And then, you know, again, kind of relying on them, what do they want to work on? You know, and we've already, some guys, we've, you know, done that with BP, and it's like, all right, today we're just going to work up the middle. We're going to work away, something like that, just so they can make those small adjustments. One of the things I found, you know, that guys come here, it's interesting to see is, you know, everyone struggles at some point throughout the summer. So it's kind of how they respond to that. But definitely having a conversation with them, you know, one-on-one, as a, you know, coach and player, to kind of get them what they want and what they want to get out of the summer, just so they're ready for the fall when they go back in.
Obviously, it's difficult to manage a team that changes every year. The whole roster changes. How has this year's team gelled?
I think they've gelled really, really well. You know, we saw the first, you know, couple road trips. Guys are back there goofing around on the bus. You know, Bryce has got his big boom box that he brings. Yeah, they're
Mafia.
Playing Mafia back there. So, you know, it's been really cool to see. I think, you know, I tell people this all the time. I think one of the most unique things about summer ball in this league in general is just how quickly guys gel together. You know, they're from obviously all over the country. Most of them haven't been in the Northeast before. And to kind of see them all form those friendships is a really cool thing, and a really unique thing. But yeah, like I said, I think this group is gelled together really good. You know, obviously Sarge is the leader in the dugout during the games.
Call him Sarge for a reason.
Call him Sarge for a reason. So I think we've done a really good job of that. You know, and a lot of times when you see teams struggling as well, kind of the energy tends to go down. And I think for the most part, at least off the field, you know, we've done a good job with guys, you know, trying to stay positive and try to keep that, I guess, team bonding going. Which can only help us.
And this rough patch also falls during a stretch that there weren't any off days for a long period of time until we had back-to-back rainouts, then off day scheduled yesterday. So how were you able to keep guys fresh, especially the arms, and then running into the losing stretch as well? How did that influence mixing lineup up or running a guy back-to-back days?
Yeah, you know, it's trying to give guys rest when we can. You know, some of the guys that were in there that were staying hot, we wanted them to stay in the lineup every day. And then some of the guys were struggling to kind of filter those guys in and out. So, you know, as far as the struggling goes, you know, the stretch, I think it, you know, having that week off at the beginning with the off days and the rainouts, and then all of a sudden we're playing 15 games in 13 days, I think took a toll on a lot of the guys. We just kind of a culture shock, and we're just being thrown in there every day. You know, we had a doubleheader sprinkled in there as well. So hopefully we kind of reset. You know, we got some fresh bodies in. We're getting some more arms in here when the month turns to July. So hopefully guys can – this is just kind of a restart, and we can kind of get on, you know, a good page here moving forward.
And, you know, with those off days that we had earlier on and a couple more sprinkled into the schedule – moving forward, how do you keep your time occupied when you're not at the field?
That's a good question. You know, my wife and I like to, I was just telling Allie when I got here, we're big brewery people. So yesterday we spent time at a couple breweries and just hanging out. You know, the summer's a lot for my wife. You know, I'm obviously not home a lot. So just spending time with her, and we like to go out, do stuff. We golf. And so during the off days, that's kind of what we do.
That is the manager of your Upper Valley Nighthawks, Matt Paws. Matt, thanks so much for joining us on the podcast today.
Appreciate it.
Thank you so much to Matt Paws for talking with us here on this Monday morning back here, Ian, Megan, and Allie. And now we kind of shift our attention ahead a little bit here to the week looking forward. And finally, you could say it, we have two off days this week, which I think these players are going to really enjoy not having to play every single day. That stretch ended up being a little bit shorter. I believe it was something like 11 games in 10 days. And then the doubleheader in Martha's Vineyard, which, you know, still not an ideal stretch, but now it's more spaced out. You have some time to breathe.
Certainly. And they got that day on Sunday yesterday after Martha's Vineyard, where everyone, I'm sure, just slept the day away. But that can be big going into tonight, and then again, you have one game and then an off day, and just time to reset no matter what happens tonight again before the three-game stretch. And then once again, one more off day before another three-game stretch. I think just having a few off days sprinkled here and there at least will help the pitchers reset. It'll help people who start every day reset and just get the mindset back towards being positive no matter what happens.
I also saw some fresh faces come in on that Vineyard trip, Trey Chrisman and Matt Thompson. Matt Thompson played both games of that doubleheader and played really well over both of them. A multi-hit game, one of three, and the game one loss. Trey Chrisman, also a valuable bat and glove there in the middle infield. I think those will be two really helpful additions here in the starting lineup. Still a couple new guys coming in, and it's just another way to inject life into a struggling lineup and a pitching staff that's just in need of reinforcements.
It really is. I mean, they come in with a mindset of just it's a new game because it's a new game, new team for them. And I think that's everything too, because you have the guys like Sarge or whoever who has been here the whole time, and maybe they're starting to get tired, but just having new faces come in and pump up the energy is what baseball is all about.
I think, like Allie said, I think the couple of off days are really going to get the guys back on track, hopefully. Let's have our fingers crossed for that, but yeah, I'm excited for the next few games this week.
And I think it's an understatement to say this is a definitive week in the season, because you have three cup games this week. Play Vermont three times, including a doubleheader here at home against the Mountaineers. And it could really be a turning point after losing game one of that series in a very close contest, 4-2. You have a couple of bounces go your way. It's you're talking about it differently, Upper Valley being up. But the good news is last two times that Upper Valley won the cup, they lost the first game of the series but came back to come out on top. So you have to take that mentality here that if you take at least two of three, if not all three, here against Vermont this week, it not only puts you in the driver's seat for winning the Governor's Cup, puts you back in competition to get a playoff spot after falling six games behind Vermont in the standings in the early going.
Yeah, I mean, if they take two out of three this week, I think, like you said, they're in good position because they don't play Vermont again until July 9th, which, I mean, you have an extra week without seeing them. Then it's about a midweek. You have an off day right before that game. And then, again, you don't see them really until before the All-Star game and the end of the season. So this is the time to get at least a couple wins against them if they want to be competitive.
Looking at the full schedule for the week ahead, of course, a game against North Adams tonight, as we're talking about this, we'll have a final for you. Keep posted to Nighthawks social media and the NECBL website for any updates there. And then looking ahead, you have off day Tuesday. Wednesday, you have game two of the Governor's Cup in Montpelier against the Mountaineers. And then Thursday, you face Valley at home. Friday, Keene on the road, that game against Valley at 6 o'clock on Thursday. Another off day Saturday, and then doubleheader against Vermont on Sunday at the Max. First game at 3 o'clock. And other than Vermont, because we already talked about those games, what's one game that stands
out
to you?
I'm going to say tonight. I mean, North Adams, we're on an 8-game losing streak. Any game right now, you just need to pull out a win, no matter who is it against or what. We really don't want to get to the middle of the week with Vermont and Valley still not having a win. I mean, we're coming up on 2 weeks. It's been 10 days. They haven't gotten a win since that doubleheader in Sanford on June 13th, and it's the 24th.
I think for me, probably Vermont. I think the last time that we played them, they provided very sound competition for the Nighthawks, and it was a close game overall. But I think they are someone that is really important for us to play against, and I think it's going to be a pretty good matchup.
In my book, I got to circle that Keene game, because Keene's a team that you were really close. You only lost by one run, the first one-run loss of the season for this team. So I think you circle that one and think we can get this one back, especially against a team that has been one of the most powerful lineups in the league this season. For a Nighthawks team that's in the bottom of the league in terms of slugging percentage, if you can, you know, flip the script, get a home run in that game or two, with it being played at Alumni Field again, that can really change the tides and bring things back on the right page for this Nighthawks lineup that has really struggled this season. So we'll look ahead at the games to come and kind of give you a final preview here. After we take a chat with Devin Drake, the mental performance coach for the Nighthawks, joining the Nighthawks coaching staff for her first season after some time in the Cape. But we'll talk to her about that and more coming up. We're joined by another guest here on the Hawks Talk podcast, the director of mental performance for the Nighthawks, Devin Drake. Devin, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you guys for having me here.
Thanks so much for coming. So your first season here in the NECBL, after coming to us from the Cape, how are you enjoying it so far?
I love it. It's definitely different with a lot of traveling, but it's good to have more time with everyone, sitting with the coaches and all the interns. You really get to know people better. So,
how did you get into the mental performance field and baseball specifically?
It's a loaded question. So basically, I knew that I wanted to get into psychology from a pretty young age, I would say. So my undergrad, I got in psychology, bachelor's degree from University of Southern Maine. And then I was trying to decide for my master's what I really was interested in this field of psychology. And I've always loved sports. I've loved playing sports. So I figured, you know what, that's something that's big, up and coming. It's still a growing field. So I decided to go with that, and I've loved it. I went to a conference with a bunch of mental performance coaches, and I'd say that's where I really decided this is what I want to do. It was just a great opportunity with so many people that had the experience, and it just really opened my eyes to like what this could be.
Growing up, did you have any influence like in sports? Did you play any, or did you just know that you wanted to do a career with sports?
Yeah, so I played field hockey and basketball in high school, and I had major performance anxiety, and I didn't have anyone to talk to about that. And I really feel like I could have enjoyed the sport so much more if I had someone like myself to talk to kind of get me through those anxious moments. And I think I just would have performed way better. So I think that's also where I draw on my own experience, because I know what that feels like. I know what it feels like to be anxious, and I know what has helped me. So after high school, I went into college and I got into bodybuilding, and that's where I started learning more about sports psychology, and that's where I really give a lot of credit to sports psychology for helping me get to where I got to in bodybuilding, because I used a lot of visualization, a lot of self-talk. It was probably one of the most mentally tough things I've had to do, just having to go to the gym every single day, eat all the right things, and it was an everyday thing, and you weren't seeing progress every single day, and it was just for one competition. So I think that really helped me with learning different tactics to use, one for motivation, and two for just like getting through tough things and resilience.
So working with the college summer baseball team, I mean, it's a lot of mental stress put on these guys, because for some of them, it's their first time playing in a league like this. So maybe their first time playing with a wood bat, especially at this level of competition. And, you know, that kind of does something on your head, because you don't hit the ball as far necessarily, playing every day, which might be the first time they're doing that. So what's it like working with these guys and trying to keep them mentally ready to perform day in, day out?
Yeah, so I completely agree. And another thing is that it's a completely different environment that they're in. Usually, like high-performing athletes, they are very routine-oriented. So they're used to having the food that they eat, the schedule that they're on, the people that they're around. And so when you're thrown into something like this, it's completely different. Like, you're staying with a host family, you're eating different foods every single day. It's not the same routine. So I think that is also a big thing to consider and to think about, that, you know, what is changing in my environment that could be impacting me in a way that I'm not performing at my best? And what are the things that I can control in this environment to help me better, just have a better routine? So I think that's kind of something that we're trying to focus on a little bit, is what we can control in these situations, especially for people that haven't been in this situation. I know even for myself, like being here and traveling so much, I was getting a little bit out of a routine. So being able to be like, okay, I'm going to set a routine for myself today. I am going to make my meals. I know what I have to do today, and that's what I'm going to do, and just have a better routine. So
sometimes you've been pulling the players aside into the dugouts to do little sessions. Can you run us through what a typical session might look like? I know it might change.
Yeah. So honestly, I am big on observing. I really want to see what I think that everyone could really use at a specific time. So sometimes it will be like I have specific sessions set up in my mind that I think I could use, but it's not the right time to do them. So I switch them all around. But honestly, one big session that I really like is based on the cognitive behavioral theory. And so we talked about how situations impact our automatic thoughts, which impact our reactions. So our reactions could be either emotional, behavioral, or physiological. And so I think that's something that we can use in everyday life too. Like, we all have situations, we all have thoughts, and our thoughts impact the reactions that we have. So I think just bringing a lot of self-awareness to each performance, each day, what our thoughts are, I think that's been a pretty big topic currently.
So, you know, talking with you a little bit, I mean, familiar with the CAPE experience and now coming here, I mean, you already talked about the travel and how vastly different that is. I mean, you took a ferry to a baseball game the other day. Just aside from the travel, how is playing in the New England League different from the CAPE?
That's a good question. I think it's very similar, but I will say, like I said before, the travel, that you do have a lot more time with the players, and I think that is a really cool aspect of it. Overall, it's quite similar.
What has been your favorite part about working for the Nighthawks, or like a favorite memory you've had so far?
Before a game, I told Ethan Lozama that I would buy him an ice cream if he hit a home run, and he did. So.
Did you buy it?
Not yet, because they didn't have the maple creamies, and he wanted a maple creamy. So
an IOU, I guess.
Yes, I actually have one in my notes in my phone, so that's going to be part of my motivation tactic, is to buy people ice creams, I guess. So.
But, I mean, sometimes it's, you know, just getting that motivation for these players to, especially in a stretch like this one, to, you know, keep going through hardships, because, you know, guys are still going to watch, especially coaches and scouts for the next level. And that can really put pressure on these guys to try to perform. And if they go into a slump, that can really snowball into something greater. So what would be something that you would say to a guy that's going through a tough stretch to try to get back to where he wants to be?
It's all very personalized. So it's a tough question with just like some little information like that, because I'd really want to dive deep into, you know, like pretty much what his thoughts are, the environment he's in, what's changed, what's the same, how can we get back to those things? So honestly, a lot of what I do is I want to ask them a lot of questions, because I want to build that self-awareness, because at the end of the day, my job isn't to tell them what to do in these tools. I want them to be able to take these tools back with them, so that when they are playing and they're back at their schools or there's something going on in their life, that they can draw on what they've learned, and they know that they have that self-awareness to be able to use it. Like one of my clients, he was talking to me, and he texted me, and he said, I just pitched in front of MLB scouts, and my anxiety was not like it used to be. And then he said, but I do need to work on my self-talk a little bit more. But I had to tell him, like, that's really cool that you even notice that you have to, work on your self-talk. Because he's in high school. Like, I wish I had that in high school, that ability to just be like, okay, I know what I need to work on. I'm still working through this process. So I just think it's cool to see just the progression of how people realize that they have all the tools. They just need to be aware and how to use them.
I think that's definitely something for people of all levels, athletics or even, normal life, to just have those tools to talk to themselves and realize how you can get 1% better every day. And I think it's really something that can help people, athlete or not, to get where they want to be.
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel like the athletes, I noticed that a lot of the athletes that are extremely motivated in their sport, they're the ones that come to me, not necessarily when something goes wrong, but they want to have these tools ready, which is what I love. Like, why wait until you need something? Why not learn them now so that when there is something that feels like it's going wrong, like you're striking out or you feel like you just can't throw a pitch, then draw on those that you already know. So I just love this field.
That is the director of mental performance, Devin Drake. Devin, thanks so much for coming on and talking with us.
Thanks, guys.
And for one more time here, Ian, Allie, and Megan, and we're kind of wrapping up this podcast episode and the week ahead. I mean, you really just got to look for one win here. Just get back on the right foot. And I think there's no better time than the present than this game against North Adams.
There isn't, just to up morale too. I mean, the time's now, and I think they know that. It's a huge stretch. A final week in June means everything going into July.
So we'll have more information about this past week or this coming up week and look at it back the next week of the episode, and it's going to be a big one here because we've got the commissioner of the league, Sean McGrath, coming on next week. You don't want to miss that one. It will be one of the biggest episodes we'll have here at Jam Studios, and can't wait to show them around and see everything that we've been doing here on the Nighthawks staff. But till then, for Allie Wenskowski and Megan Robinson, my name is Ian Binky. We'll see you next time on the Hawks Talk podcast. Take care and have a good one.